We're continuing in our study on the books of Peter this evening, and we'll be picking up 2 Peter chapter 2 and the whole chapter. But I'd encourage you to pick up a Bible to get started. We're gonna read the whole chapter, and I don't have that on the PowerPoint to start with, so we'll pick up the Bible and we'll read the whole chapter to get started. And as we read the whole chapter, and as we study the book this evening, there's two main thoughts that is put out in this chapter. The first thought is the foretelling of false teachers and the punishment to be given them and their followers. And the second thought is that the godly shall be spared this punishment. So as we read this and as we study this evening, let's keep these thoughts in mind as we go through. 2 Peter chapter 2, starting verse number 1. Says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelleth among them, and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they that count it pleasure to ride in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass, speaking with man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. So keep these thoughts in your mind as we go through this evening, that the foretelling of false teachers and the punishment to be given them their followers, and that the godly shall be spared this punishment. Verses 1 and 2, and we'll break several of these down as we go. They're not just individual verses broken down. There'll be a few of them here and there together. So verse 1 and 2 says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 11 simply says, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. 1 Timothy 4 chapter 1 and 2, or verse 1 and 2 says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. So in these couple of verses here, Matthew 24 is Jesus simply saying there's going to be many false prophets that are going to come. Even after I leave this world and my apostles will leave this world, there's going to be many coming in that are going to be classified as false prophets or false teachers, and they'll deceive many. So we have the verse that says, and it's in the lesson as we go on, that we're to try the spirits. We're to understand when somebody's telling us something, whether that truly is from God's word or if it's man's word. So we're supposed to be studied enough to know this. 1 Timothy 4 simply says, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. And we are considered to be in the latter times at this time. But you know, this verse, I think, from the time it was penned, considered the latter times. Because even in the time that it was penned, that there were some that were departing from the faith even then. Even those that were around and saw physically the teachings of Jesus firsthand, some of those didn't even stick to the good news of the gospel. They fell away from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, and having their conscience seared with a hot iron. You know, having our conscience seared with a hot iron is simply something that when we do something often enough that it bothers our conscience, but yet we still neglect that conscience bothering us, and we keep on doing it and doing it, sooner or later we sear over our conscience that those things don't bother us anymore, and we're more easily given into those things. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verses 1 through 5 says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power of, from such turn away. And we look at this group of verses, and you look at verses 1 through 4, and there's a whole grocery list of things that we don't want to be considered as. Lovers of our own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, the list just goes on and on and on. These are things that we don't want to have in our character as Christians. But look at verse 5, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. This tells me that a lot of this is people that are professing to be Christians. And this is where a lot of the false teachers and the false prophets come in. They have a form of godliness. Upon first appearances, they may look like, you know, a man of God or a Christian in the nature, but yet they deny the power thereof. And God's word says, when we realize these people are this way, we're supposed to turn away from those people and not let them have any influence on our lives at all. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1 says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Again, this is what we just mentioned, the verse we just mentioned, that even in the times that Jesus was on the earth and the times immediately after him going back to heaven and the apostles spreading their messages and spreading the borders of the kingdom, they knew then that there were many false teachers going out to bring in people for either power, the lust of the flesh, to have the adoration of mankind, whatever the case may be. They knew then, just as well today, that there are many false teachers out there, and it says, but we're to try every spirit. We're not to believe every spirit, but we're to try every spirit to find out if indeed they are of God. And he gives us that warning because many false prophets are going out in the world. Verses 3 through 6 in 2 Peter says, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. So it says in verse 3, it says, through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. So they covet the attention that they're trying to get from you. They want you to give them the praise and the honor of being someone high and holy. That's what they're looking for. And it says they make merchandise of you. They're willing to buy and sell you. As long as you give them the adoration and the glory they deserve, you're nothing more to them than just an object that they can buy and sell. And then it goes into that if God spared not the angels that sinned, and he spared not the old world and the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, you see the things that God, when he detests something, he takes care of those things. And it may not be some way that we think ought to be taken care of, but yet God is higher than us and knows more than us. So when you look at this, he's putting the idea of false teachers and false prophets into the same category of him not sparing the earth with the flood, not sparing Sodom and Gomorrah, and the things like this. So that tells you just what God thinks of the false teachers and the false prophets, that he will take care of them and they will receive the reward of their due. And it's all up to God. It's not us to pick and choose who gets what and what they get. That's up to God to take care of. Romans 16, verse 17 and 18 says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. So he says, once you have someone coming in, if we have somebody comes in the congregation and they stick around here long enough and put on a front long enough to where they can get to the pulpit, and then when they get to the pulpit, they start trying to lead people astray. He says, when these people come in and start trying to cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine, it says to mark them and put them away, avoid them. Because it says they don't serve our Lord Jesus, but they serve themselves. They serve their belly. They serve the physical, their own selves. And that's what they want is the glory of man, the praise of man. It doesn't have anything to do with a greater calling to serve God. Titus chapter 1 verses 10 and 12 says, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. And it says, for those of the circumcision, that tells me that it would be in the early Christian days that this would be those of the Jews that refused to believe that Jesus was the Messiah when he came to the earth. And he says there are going to be many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers. He says there's many of them. But he also says their mouths must be stopped because they subvert whole houses. There's some things that they're spreading that has to be stopped. They do it for money and for the praise of man, not for God's glory. Continuing verse 7, 8, and 9 in 2 Peter 2. Says, and delivered just lot, of course, we realize the verses we just read, 3 through 6, talked about Sodom and Gomorrah and the flood and things like that. The next verses is, it goes into this on Lot, delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. So we can imagine what this would be like. You know, I get a little taste of it at work every now and then, because of some of the people you're around is not necessarily a lot of the people you want to be around, but yet you work with them, so you have to put up with them. Doesn't mean I have to spend a lot of time with them, but you can imagine how Lot felt when you go back and you look at the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. You know what was going on in those communities at the time, and yet here's a man of God trying to live as a man of God in a city that was totally given over to sin and depravity, and yet you see how it says it vexed his righteous soul from day to day. Imagine it would just drive you crazy. You know, now the verses on the story of Lot and them doesn't explain why, but I've often wondered, well, why didn't he just move? You know, it seems kind of simple to think that way, but yet you go back and you look at the story, you know, when him and when him and Abraham chose which way they wanted to go, and they split. Well, they were both rich men. They both had lots of servants, lots of animals in their flocks, lots of things like that. But yet, when you next see the story on Lot, it's just him and his family in Sodom and Gomorrah. So what happened to all his riches and his animals, and what happened to his servants, and we know what happened to the rest of his family. Some of them got out, some of them didn't. So we see when the decision he made to go into Sodom and Gomorrah just was a downhill spiral for his life and those that he was, his family and stuff. It just took everything he had to fight that, and then still was in it, didn't choose to get out of it. Psalms chapter 34, verse 11 through 19. Starting verse 11 says, "Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord." So here David's going to tell them. He says, "Okay, kids, gather around. I'm going to tell you a story. I'm going to teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good?" He's telling us, okay, if you want to live long, you want to see good, here's what we're going to teach you. Verse 13 says, "Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from me evil, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all." So he's telling them, so okay, you want to find out, I'm going to teach you the fear of the Lord. You want to know how to live a long life and have many days that you can see good? Here it is. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil, do good, seek peace and pursue it. It's pretty simple. Kind of hard to do sometimes, but it's pretty simple. And then he goes on and it says, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous," so that he hears our cries when we face the things that this life throws at us that we're not fully equipped to handle on our own, but yet God is. We take our petitions to God. Verse 19, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous." You know, and we look at this verse and we think, yeah, well, it's not me. Well, here recently it has been us. You know, so many are the afflictions of the righteous. And it's not going to be just what we've been facing lately. It's what we all face day to day, what we all battle in this life day to day. But it says, "But the Lord delivereth him out of them all." So we just have to put our faith in God and go to Him in prayer and have the faith that He'll take care of those things. 1 Corinthians 10:13, a very familiar verse, says, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." You know, and we look at verses like this, and we read them, and we read them, and we read them, and we see them, and we read them, and it still sometimes just doesn't always sink in until you're in a situation that triggers a light in your head. Say, "Oh, really? Hey, I never saw that." You know, and this is one of those times. You know, I've never felt that I had a lot of physical problems in this life up until the last few months. But it says God's faithful to take care of those things. He's not going to give us more than what we can handle. He's not going to allow us to be tempted above that you're able, but will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. You know, and Brenda's situation with battling cancer is not necessarily what I might consider a classic temptation, but yet it is a temptation and a situation that it's so easy to want to give up and do something else besides go to God. And yet God says He's not going to allow us more than what we're able to handle. We just have to have the faith that's His promise, and He'll stand by that promise. And we look at that, and we need to base our faith on that a lot of times. So we pick up in the next verse number 10, but it says, from here through the end of the chapter, most of these verses are pretty self-explanatory, so I don't have a lot of extra verses. We'll talk about it as we go, but a lot of this through the rest of the chapter pretty well explains itself. Verse number 10 says, "But chiefly them that walk after the flesh and the lust of uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities." So the very first thing here, he says, okay, you walk after the flesh and the lust of uncleanness, you despise government, you're presumptuous, you're self-willed, you're not afraid to speak evil of dignities. And he says that's just part of the characteristic of these type of people, the false teachers and the false prophets. This is just one of the great characteristics of these people. The first part of Jude chapter 1 verse 10 says, "But these speak evil of those things which they know not." You know, and we all know people that just have an abundance of an opinion about something that they don't have a clue about what they're talking about. And I get into that with some of the guys at work quite a bit, and a lot of it's stuff at work, not necessarily all of it, but they just have this overabundance of opinion on things that they just know they're perfect about, and they don't have a clue what they're talking about. First part of Jude chapter 1 verse 16 says, "These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust." And we know that, murmurers and complainers. You know, there's every Friday is our payday. Most of you know I work on a commission basis. So if I get an estimate, and my estimate on a certain repair on a car is lines, and it says, okay, repair such and such, 2 hours, repair such and such, 5 hours, replace such and such, 2/10, 5/10, whatever the case may be. And there's 5 guys in the body shop that all work on commission, and all of us, well, okay, there's a couple of tenths off here and a couple of tenths off there, but we know enough that in the long run, things even out. And there's one guy in the office that he'll sit in the office for a half a day arguing over 2/10 of an hour on labor. So instead of doing the job that he could make 2 or 3 hours, instead of arguing over 2/10, he's in there arguing over 2/10. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust. You know, and you put that into a religious point of view, we see that in the people we come into contact with in the church and when we travel to other congregations. Usually, there's somebody in every congregation that fit into this category. And you know, it goes back to those verses that we read earlier that says we're to mark those people and then don't let them have an influence over us. I don't think this congregation has anybody like that right now. We have had in times past, but I don't think we do now. I think this is a fantastic family that we have here right now, and if anything's what I would consider a problem, it'd be a real minor problem. Verse number 11 going on says, whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. Jude chapter 1 verse 9 says, yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not or did not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. So as he goes on, verse number 11, it says, whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, so the angels would be a level above us as children of God, and he says, they're not allowed to bring about railing accusations. And then it gives an example of Michael the archangel. Even when he was fighting with Satan, he didn't do it, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. So then there are things as individual members of the congregation that it's not our responsibility to take care of. When we have someone of a false teacher or false prophet come in the congregation, that's up to the elders and up to God to take care of. Continuing verse 12 through 16. Says, but these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. So it says these as natural brute beasts, or as means kind of something without reason, that they speak evil of the things that they understand not, and it says they'll utterly perish in their own corruption. They'll receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. So it says even though that they are members of the congregation or visitors of the congregation, they're intermingling with us as Christians. And he says that they'll, even though they'll mingle with us and have partakings with us, says they're just spots and blemishes. And yet as it goes on, that it says that they'll try to work divisions and separate us and go on to weed out the weak so that they can pounce on the weak. Philippians chapter 3 verse 17-19 says, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. So here he's simply telling them, so okay, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk as you've seen us walk. The good side, those that you have as an example. Mark us and follow us, but stay away from the other guys that walk contrary to what God's word says. Continuing verse 17 and 19, says, these are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. These are wells without water. You know, we have enough farmers in the congregation and those that grew up on farms to realize that, you know, a well without water is a useless hole in the ground. clouds that are carried with a tempest, like the clouds that were here this evening. The wind blew through 60, 70 mile an hour. Those clouds were gone. So what he's telling us, that these are useless things, they're going to be gone quickly. A false teacher and a false prophet are something without value, without merit, but yet they'll be gone quickly, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. And then it goes on and says, they'll speak great swelling words of vanity, and they allure through the lust of the flesh. Those who are cleaned escape from them who live in error. It says, they promise them liberty. You'll be free. I'll help you get out of all of this. But yet they themselves are the servants of corruption, for whom a man is overcome, the same is brought into bondage. John chapter 8, verse 34 simply says, Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. So as they promise you bondage by living in sin, how can they promise something they don't have themselves? Romans 6 and verse 16 says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. You know, and it talks about these having great swelling words. You know, these false teachers spoke of great and high things and no doubt promised the disciples great privileges. You know, if you just get out of that group over there and come over here and follow me, man, we'll have all this stuff. But yet they themselves pretend to have a higher degree of illumination, but they were all false and vain or empty. Though they excited the desires of the flesh, it was still just through the desires of the flesh, the wantonness of the flesh. That's what they had to desire. They built upon the pride and the lust of the flesh for those of the weak, promising them great swelling things. And yet, as we just read here, that we're either servants of sin unto death or servants of obedience unto righteousness. So for us, when we try to live our lives as Christians in the world, we need to be servants unto obedience unto righteousness. Continuing verse 20-22 finishes out the chapter, says, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein, overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Verses 20 and 22 up here says, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge or through the obedience of the gospel, but then are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter ends worse than the beginning. And 21 says it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they had known it, turn from it. Well, there's one word in verse number 20 I want you to pay attention to, and it's overcome. You know, we can be entangled again in the world as living in the world if we're aware of it and we repent from it and we're fine. But when we get overcome, that's when we fall away. When we are overcome back to the sins of the world, then the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. So when we find ourselves in those situations out in the world that we find that we may have been overcome again with the things of the world, let's not find it to where it's a permanent overcoming of our lives. Let's be aware of those situations and then put it away from us. Repent and turn back to God and let him help us get over those things. Very familiar verse, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There's no such thing as once saved, always saved. We can fall from grace, and we have to be aware of those teachings of those men that we would consider false teachers, those things we may listen to on the radio, those things we may read, whatever the case may be that we choose to input besides God's word. We have to be wary of those things because we can fall from grace. Close with one last reading, Ezekiel chapter 18, starting verse 21. says, but if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he hath committed and keep all my statutes and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live, he shall not die. All his transgressions that he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. In his righteousness that he hath done, he shall live. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live? But when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and doeth according to all the abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? All his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned, in his trespasses that he hath trespassed, and in his sin that he hath sinned, in them shall he die. God here says, do I have any pleasure that the wicked should die, or that he should not turn from his ways and live? The same applies for us today. When we find ourselves giving in to some of those teachings that would be classified as false teachings, simply says as this, it says that all we have to do is turn from the way and come back to God. He doesn't have any pleasure in condemning mankind. He doesn't have any pleasure in us not having an avenue back to God when we find ourselves succumbing to those false teachings of mankind out there. But yet we have to be aware of those things when we find ourselves out there, and we have to be willing to repent and come back. We can't just stay out there and continue to profess to be a Christian and live that way. So we need to be aware of those that come into the congregation and try to separate us. We need to be aware of the things that we put into our thoughts and our minds, whether it's magazines, articles, newspapers, radio, TV, whatever the case may be that we choose to look at for different religious views. We can't look at these things and just, hey, that's a great idea, let's follow that, because it's false teachings. We have to be aware of those things as we live our lives out in the world as Christians. We have to be wary. You know, the verse that says, be aware because Satan roaming around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, that applies to each and every one of us. And when he finds us in our weak times, that's when he's going to pounce and try to devour. And when we let some of these false teachings into our lives, then we get a little more weak. We're not as strong as when we just base all our things on God's word. I leave the lesson with you this evening. Pray the things we've studied have been beneficial for us this evening. And if there's any one subject to the gospel call, we'd ask you to come forward while we stand and sing the song been selected.